He didn't say anything about the wonderful southern charm down there. Yeah, I know. And Melanie does know he was ready to move to North Carolina. But thank you, Doug. It is wonderful how God works in our lives and protects us even when we don't know we need protecting. And that's an exciting knowledge to have. Doug gave me a good lead-in for today's message. Because he was willing to share the goodness of God. And one of the reasons that we as a church need to get together on a regular basis is to be able to share the goodness of God. All churches have people who become inactive, some more than others. And, of course, we talked about that Thursday night at the business meeting. And what do you do with those people? And, well, you do everything you can to get them back in the fold, to help them understand that if you're saved, if God has worked that miracle in your life, then you owe it to him to worship him on a regular basis. And so I thought this morning that I will direct my message into why do we need to worship? Right now, two of our Sunday school classes are studying worship, and I'm enjoying teaching it because of the fact that worship is so vital to the life of a church, to our individual Christian lives. And there are reasons that we need to gather together for our own personal growth and ministry. And you may feel like I'm preaching to the choir because so many of you here are here on a regular basis. But perhaps there'll be something within this message that would help you to have to share with somebody you know who's a member of this church or a member somewhere else, but they just don't go anymore. And I've shared with some of you individually that I would rather go visit in a home of a lost person than I would a person who is who has fallen away from God and from being active in a church. Because a lost person, I have found, is more open to hearing the gospel than someone who has heard the gospel, put their faith in Jesus Christ, but has allowed their life to become more focused on self, on the world, than on worshiping God and continuing to praise him and thank him for his goodness. And that was basically what our Sunday school lesson was on this morning, is the inspiration to worship. That inspiration comes from what God continually does in our lives. And so our sermon today is simply called Create It for Community. Create It for Community. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. So if you can stand, would you please stand in honor of God's word? Acts 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. May God add his blessing in reading the word. Please be seated. If you've ever, and I haven't, but if you've ever been out to California to see the huge redwood trees, you were probably amazed at their size. And they are the largest living thing on earth and the tallest trees in the world. And some of them are as high as 300 feet, and they're more than 2,500 years old. I don't know if I ever get out there, but it sure is something I would love to see. And people wonder, well, how do these trees grow that large and that long a time? Because, you know, you've got to have water that will go deep into the root system in the ground. And in something that tall and heavy can easily be blown over if the root system is not good. Well, the redwood tree have a very shallow root system. The roots of these trees are, however, intertwined. They are tied in with each other. They are interlocked. And so when the storms come and the winds blow, the redwoods still stand. Now that's a good illustration of what a church is and why it's important to be involved and active in a church. We are an interlocking root system that supports and sustains each other. We need one another to survive. So God has given us his church, which is the body of Christ on earth. And when one is baptized into Christ, one is baptized into the body of Christ. And through Christ, we are bound together into a community of faith. Belonging to Christ, we belong to each other. Fellowship with Christ means fellowship with each other. And through Christ, God has made us a family, a community of faith. This is our God-given support system. And as such, it is intended to meet some crucial needs to our lives. I've always felt that those who have ceased coming to our church or to any church where I've pastored are a weak point in our church. It's like a root that's died. It's no longer working and no longer helping that tree to survive, that will slowly die off. And so, because each of us is gifted by God, and God gives us gifts, not for us to use them for ourselves, but for us to serve him and use them for the kingdom through the church. And when people cease coming, for whatever reason, now I'm not talking about when you get sick and you're unable to come or you're physically can't come. There are reasons that keep people out. But what I'm saying is people who spend their Sundays or Wednesday nights or small group time doing something else that has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with reaching the community for Christ, nothing to do with helping the church to grow and to be vibrant. And so our text this morning tells us that the very first community of believers gathered together on a regular basis for worship, for prayer, study, and fellowship. In verse 44 of chapter 2, Acts 2, It says all that believed were together. Now, we have to be reminded that in the New Testament times, it wasn't easy to follow Christ in the first century. Times were tough. Persecution was rampant. The early believers were bound together into a fellowship, a community. They needed each other because their strengths in numbers. It also isn't easy for us to follow Christ and truly live for Him. Discouragement, temptation, sin, apathy, failure, materialism, unbelieving family and friends, doubts, rejections, unanswered questions are things that we all face. They're all obstacles in our desire to live for the Lord. God, however, has not left us on our own to run the race and to fight the battle. He has given us each other. Everyone in this room is a part of the root system of this church. We are here for each other. And our text further reveals to us the proper focus of a community of believers. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The teaching to which they devoted themselves was the message about Jesus proclaimed by the apostles, that Jesus was the divine Son of God and Savior, that He was crucified and buried, but He rose from the dead, which leads us to observe the breaking of bread and share in the Lord's Supper. It also refers to other times when they are gathered around a common meal. Nobody loves covered dish supper more than Baptists do. And it also refers to times when we're gathered in teaching and in fellowship and in praying together and gathering around the Lord's table as we will next Sunday. All of this points to a Christian community. So in the time I have left, I want to share four or five specific things and reasons why we need to join together on a regular basis. Number one is community. In his book, The Connecting Church, author Randy Frazee writes, the experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of Scripture lead one to conclude that God intends the church not to be more like a bolt on the wheel of activity in our lives, but to be the very hub at the center of one's life. The church or a local community of believers is essential to our spiritual well-being. In the New Testament, there's no such thing as a lone ranger. Over the years, you probably have heard this, and I've heard it more than I would like to, is people that tell me, I don't need to go to church to grow in the Lord. I'm fine staying at home and watching a worship service on TV in my coffee and pajamas. And that's one of the negative things that happened during the pandemic. And there, and talking with other pastors, all of us have lost some people who are doing that now. They have forgotten the need to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You cannot grow in Christ and be a long ranger. Believers need each other, and God expected them to be there for each other. We need each other, and God expects us to be there for each other again and again and again. And so God has ordained that we play a vital role in each other's faith. And for that reason, we are commanded in Hebrews 10:25 not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. God has a purpose in putting us together. Henry Nouwen points out, we are unified by our common weaknesses, our common failures, our common disappointments, and our common inconsistencies. Luke informs us that all the believers were one in heart and mind. They were united in Christ in a community of faith, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that we possess the mind of Christ. And God uses this community of faith to do some powerful things in our lives of countless believers living in a pagan and godless world. God's plan has not changed. He still desires to use His church to do some powerful things in our lives. And the community of faith is absolutely crucial to our spiritual well-being. And through it, God desires that we find strength for the journey, places to minister, and a never-ending source of guidance. So the church is needed for community. Secondly, the church is needed for strength. As we face inevitable trials and troubles and tragedies of life on this sin-marred earth, God intends that we be supported and strengthened and encouraged and empowered through the community of believers. And as we face the storms and temptations of life, we should receive strength from each other, and such is God's plan. This is part of God's plan for us to get together, to worship, to praise Him, to encourage, to lift up, to minister to. And in the course of his life, the psalmist David knew his share of difficulty, his painful times that tested his faith and sometimes caused it to waver. In Psalm 61:2, David cried out to God for help, saying, I call to you as my heart grows faint. Overwhelmed by the trials and heartaches and burdens of life, Paul called out to God for help and strength. And he rejoiced because God always answered his prayer. He said, you have given to me the heritage of those who fear your name. God had strengthened his faith and empowered him, but it was through fellow believers. The fact of the matter is that God works in our lives through other believers. And many of you in this room, including myself and my wife, have benefited from many of you who came alongside of us when we needed help. And you've done that for a lot of other people in this church and are still doing it because we need strength. Author Gary Burge says, when God's love feels distant or non-existent, His body of Christ's love, or the body of Christ's love, is real and tangible. When you bring a meal to one of our members' houses, when you go see them in the hospital or rehab, or you're offered to drive them to a doctor's appointment, on and on the list goes. You are ministering to them. You are giving them strength and encouragement. That's why we cannot afford to stand alone, to go it on our own. We need each other. We need the community of faith. in a leadership magazine, Carl Connor writes about the dangers of standing alone. A few winters ago, heavy snow hit North Carolina. Following a wet 6-inch snowfall, it was interesting to see the effect along Interstate 40. Now, that happens to be, if you haven't been down that way, the same interstate that received a lot of damage after Hurricane Helene in western North Carolina. And next to the highway stood several large groves of tall, young pine trees. And he noticed the branches were bowed down with the heavy snow, so low that branches from one tree were often leaning against the trunk or branches of another tree. But he also noticed that when trees stood alone, the effect of the heavy snow was different. The branches had become heavier and heavier, and since there was no other trees to lean against, the branches snapped. They lay on the ground, dark and alone in the cold snow. When the storms of life are raining on us, we need to be standing close to other Christians, and we need each other, for we can't stand alone. The closer we stand in community, the more we will be able to hold up. And throughout our lives, and especially during tough times, God desires to strengthen and empower us through the community of believers. He expects you and I to support each other during the storms of life. And that is why we need to be an active part of a community of faith. We need each other, and they need us. And then, church is necessary for ministry. The community of faith is crucial to our spiritual well-being because it is the place where we find special opportunities to minister. Those in the community of faith do not merely absorb Christ's love, but we are here to change lives and to reflect God's love corporately. Our union with Christ creates community responsibilities. We are called to minister and serve. We all have a God-given responsibility to reach out and minister to each other. Why? Because love acts. It serves God and it serves others. Again, going back to verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Their ministry to each other included sharing of material goods to meet temporal needs. The early church shared much more extensively as a result of economic and social sanctions that were imposed upon the early believers. It was Christians sharing at its best, and this is still God's plan for today's church, for meeting the needs of His hurting children. If we are not ministering to one another through a community of faith, then many needs go unmet and many reach the erroneous conclusion that God does not care for them. So the community of faith is crucial to our well-being because it is the source of much needed guidance, direction, and even correction. As someone has aptly said, we need the community of believers because none of us is as smart as all of us. In Psalm 73:24, the psalmist says, "You shall guide me with your counsel." God desires, God yearns to guide us safely through our earthly pilgrimage, sparing us many wrong turns and harmful paths. Ephesians 3:10 declares that God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. God wants to guide us, but He has chosen to do it through His people in the community of faith. How many of you over the years were guided or helped in making an important decision because a brother or sister in the church who maybe had the same experience and learned how to deal with it was there to share with you? Perhaps I'm sure there are people in this church or people in churches you've been involved in who you looked up to, who you considered a saint. I always, at every church that I have ever pastored, I've always looked for a saint that I could go to for advice and to help make decisions that were not necessarily easy to decide. And so God guides us regarding proper priorities and values and morals and ethics. And through our interaction with each other and His Word, He helps us make right choices and good decisions. And the guidelines that we receive through the community of faith is absolutely essential to our well-being, especially in those times when right is wrong and wrong is right. And so through His people, God guides us away from sinful paths. There's so many ways of the world that look so inviting and enticing to us. And they are so acceptable in our country and world today. They promise to bring us great pleasure. They are presented as harmless. And we are told they will bring us happiness and fulfillment. But I hope all of you in this room realize that ain't so. For God is the only one that can bring us happiness and joy. And often when we leave Him out of the equation, when we leave church out of the equation, it only brings heartache and regret. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Without a doubt, sin deceives. It promises much, but delivers little. Were it not for the community of faith, we might more easily and readily succumb to temptation and sin. But it is through the community of faith that we are guided into paths of righteousness, and we are able to resist the sinful and deadly ways of the world. And then, lastly, a connected community helps us with difficulties. Being in the community of faith is not without its difficulties and frustrations. It can't be otherwise, since it is made up of sinners. As you've heard me say many times, the church is not a resort for saints, it is a hospital for sinners. Everybody in this room, starting right here in the pulpit, is a sinner saved by the grace of God. But we're human. We make mistakes. And we need the church family to help us in those times of mistakes. The marks of community, I mean a true biblical community, is not the absence of conflict and difficulties, but the presence of a reconciling spirit. Did you get that? There's going to be conflict in church because we're human. There's going to be feelings hurt. But over and above that, there should be a reconciling spirit. And the Bible teaches us how we need to reconcile and how we need to seek forgiveness and to give forgiveness. In our humanness, we all do things to rub others the wrong way and offend. And we all at times will be hurt and we will hurt others because our old sinful nature often causes us problems. But we must not back away from the fellowship of faith. We must make an unwavering commitment to a community of believers where we can be strengthened, where we can find places of ministry and receive needed guidance. Our plight is not unlike that of a group of porcupines. A group of porcupines were marooned one bitter cold night in the middle of a large frozen field. There was no way to escape the biting wind. They could not burrow into the frozen ground. And as they huddled together to keep warm, their sharp quills began to pinch and hurt. And the closer they moved together, the more the pain increased. Some of the animals could not bear the pain and drew apart to sleep alone. In the morning, they had frozen to death. In our humanness, there are times when we hurt each other and the tendency is to pull away and go it alone. Brothers and sisters, we must resist that tendency. We are all created for community. The journey of life and faith is often trying. It's difficult. It's painful. It's discouraging. There is relentless temptation. There's debilitating sins. There's doubt. There's ridicule, burdensome weaknesses, heavy burdens, unanswered questions, rejection. Little wonder that God has given us the family of God and the fellowship of believers. It is absolutely essential for the source of strength and guidance. Ephesians 2:19 reminds us that as a result of our relationship with Christ, you are no longer foreigners and aliens separated from God, but your fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. In Christ, we are a community of faith, a special place where we can minister and be ministered to. We need each other. Therefore, the community of faith needs to be a priority in our lives. Acts 2:42 says that the early believers devoted themselves to fellowship, to the community of faith. And my challenge and encouragement to you this morning is to let us do likewise as we come to worship and as we partake of the Lord's table next week, to be reminded that God is good. He died for us, and because of that, we need together as a church to praise Him, to follow Him in obedience, and to live a Bible-centered worship priority in our lives. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You established the church. We know the church is your bridegroom. And Father, just being here today is a blessing. To be healthy enough to be here, to have the means to come here, is a blessing. And so, Father, I pray that everyone in this room would be reminded that the church is God's plan to help us to be in community, to help us minister, to help us gain strength, to help us to reconcile, that we cannot grow by staying by ourselves as a Christian. And I pray, Lord, that as we go out from this place, that we will do all that we can to give testimony to why we go to church and how church helps us to be the person you'd want us to be. Father, we thank you for the words you have given us in the book of Acts. And Father, I personally thank you because I know the difference of what church has meant to me since a child. And I would not be where I am at, have what I have, and do what I do without the goodness of you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Perhaps today God has caused you to think of something that you need to work on, and maybe you need to make a rededication of your life, that I want to be more obedient to God. I want to be more encouraging. I want to get involved in ministering. I want to be a help, whatever it is. And you would like to simply make that commitment known to everyone by coming forward at the end of the service. I think everybody here is a Christian, and so I will not offer an invitation to receive Christ. But if you know any of the people in our church that are members and haven't been here in a long, long time, give them a call. Share with them how much you miss them. And don't let them give you an excuse, but remind them that this gathering needs to be a priority in our lives consistently so that our church can grow and move forward. As we sing, as we sing,
as we sing,
as we sing.
Yes. Yeah. I thank you. I thank